I don't know if they believe that. Yeah, when it comes to birthdays, the math gets fuzzy. But I'm thankful that I had another one. I'm going to have another one. Aren't you? Every time it beats the alternative. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, hold your hand up. The ushers have extra Bibles. We'd be glad to let you use one of these. And turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew. We've been on a topic for the last few weeks during offering time, and I want us to continue it. There is, well, let me say it like this, like Jesus said it. He said to individuals, religious individuals, he said, your traditions have made the Word of God of no effect. Now, the Word of God is very powerful. And to think that something could render it ineffective is quite a thought. But tradition can do that if you'll receive it and replace God's Word with it. It's a very subtle thing. And don't assume you've never done it. It's easy to grow up believing things, and you're just sure that that's what the Bible teaches. And yet it's not. It's a tradition. I know when I first went to Rhema Bible Training Center, Bible school, the first year I was there, I was learning things that I had not known, and the Lord challenged me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me, He challenged me, Keith, examine everything you believe and find it in my Word. In other words, when you realize something you believe, okay, where is it? Where is it? And so I understood the Lord was, he was directing me to do that. So all along, something had come up, and I thought, well, yeah, I believe that. And so that thought had come back to me, okay, where is it? Where is it at? And sometimes I could find the verse, and sometimes I was thinking partly right and partly wrong. But then there were several times I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, I know that's in the Bible. Well, where? Where is it? And as I began to study it, I actually found verses that contradicted it. And I was just sure that was in the Bible and that was right. And come to find out, I heard somebody say it. Some of my family believed it. I learned it when I was young. A preacher said it. Come on, are y'all with me? So friend, it is imperative that we examine things by the Word of God. One tradition that is robbing the church financially and materially is the belief that Jesus taught us to be poor. That he's opposed to any material wealth. And that if you really follow the Lord, you're going to be poor. And in fact, if you were really a holy consecrated minister, you'd probably take a vow of poverty. This is widely believed, and it is a tradition that is not in line with the Word of God, and yet it is widely believed. That's why I'm camping on it. Do you think this is something we need to think about? And it can cling to you more than you think. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, Matthew 5, 16, is it okay if we take a few minutes with this? It says, Jesus said, these are the words of the Master, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Why would he say that? Don't think that. Why would he say that? Because people are going to think that. That's exactly what we're talking about. When we've been talking about people in the Bible who knew God, whom God made rich. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Joseph. And yet, there are millions of people that believe that Jesus taught contrary to the Old Testament. He taught contrary to what Abraham experienced or what Joseph experienced. and that he practiced poverty and preached lack, no materialism, no financial ability. And one thing we've got to distinguish between is what Jesus did as our example and what he did as our substitute. Now the Bible said he was made sin. Why? So we could sin?
No.
So we could be the righteousness of God. He took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses, he carried our pains, so we could be sick?
No.
So we could be healed, right? Yeah. He bore the chastisement of our peace, so we could be vexed and upset and worry and trouble? No. So we could have peace, right? And did the Bible also say, did the New Testament say that he was, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be poor? He was poor, so you should be poor. Is this taught? Is this believed? It is. It's taught and believed. But is it Bible?
No.
Are y'all with me or not? Hang in there. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law or prophets, I came to fulfill. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle will pass, in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So we went back and we said, if we talked to Abraham, would he tell us that God wants you, if not absolutely in poverty, at a minimal? Would he tell you that? No. He's going to tell you that God made him rich. Is that right? What he would tell you is that it's all important how it comes.
Right.
He would not let it be said that the king of Sodom made him rich.
Right.
It's got to come the right way.
Amen.
And we looked at Joseph. And if Joseph was here tonight, he's still around.
Yes, he is.
You're going to get to meet him one day.
Amen.
And if we said, Joseph, now a lot of people down here believe that you shouldn't have anything nice and that if you're real consecrated that you're basically going to be poor. Is that the kind of God you know? What would he say?
No.
Even though he was sold into slavery,
The
Bible said he was a prosperous man, revealing God can prosper you and wants to prosper you in any circumstances. The devil will try to lie to you and say, well, in your circumstances, don't expect much. I mean, where you are and the job you have and the background and you got a record and you got no education or whatever. God can prosper you in any circumstances.
Amen.
Say it out loud. God can prosper me. Right where I am.
Right now.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Is it his will?
Yes.
Many people don't believe it is. Many more people are just not sure. They're like, well, I guess if he wants to, he will. No, that's not how it works. That's like saying, if he wants me born again, I guess he'll make it that way. No, you got to believe it. You got to receive it, right? And by faith, walk in it. Got to go after it. Seek it and you'll find it. Let's look at another one. You got time? Yeah, what else you going to do? Genesis 26. Genesis 26 and verse 1. There was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac, Abraham's son, went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. Keep reading for several verses. The Lord appeared to him and said, go down to Egypt, dwell in the land I'll tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you. And we've been talking about that on Friday nights. I'll be with you. I will be with you and what? And you'll know I'm there. You may starve to death, but I'm there. No, I'll be with you and what? And bless you, for to you and your seed I'll give all these countries and perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Now Isaac grew up with a man that believed in prosperity. Right? His father was a rich man. And he left everything he had to him. So Isaac would not, if we had Isaac here tonight and said, you know, Isaac, a lot of people think that Jesus preaches against having anything. So did Jesus preach against the Bible? I know that sounds crazy, but that's what people are implying. That he's preaching something that contradicts all of the Old Testament. And he said, don't think that. Jesus' words himself. He said, verse 4, keep going. I'll make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven and give to your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, hallelujah. So he told him, now this is very important. He said, don't go there. Stay here. Does it make any difference? When the Lord says, I will bless you there. If he says, I'll bless you there, then don't go over here. Now, I know we agree with that in church, but there's a famine in the land. This looks like a bad place to have any expectation to prosper or do well. Everything's down and going further down. But in verse 12, Isaac did what he told him to do. Isaac sowed in that land. In which land? In that land, there where the Lord told him stay. He said, don't go over there. Now, I'd be tempted because they had some money over there and they had some stuff over there. Everybody else was going down, but the Egypt was still had some stuff. He said, don't go over there. You stay here. I'm going to bless you here. Does it matter if we're led by the Spirit?
Yes.
Or if we're walking by sight, led by things outwardly? Don't be led outwardly, be led internally. He sowed in that land where there's famine. Probably a lot of people probably didn't even plant that year. Why? It's like throwing your seed away. There's a drought. There's famine. But when God tells you to stay there, he's going to prosper you there. When he tells you to invest into it there, he can bless you anywhere. He can prosper you anywhere if it's where he told you to be. And he sowed in that land. Come on, do you believe this verse? And received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. This is not a figurative 100-fold. This is not a mystical 100-fold. This is 100-fold of the seed he sowed in the land, his crops in a time of famine. I reckon God rained on his when nobody else got any. Something happened. Everybody else was having drought, but not Isaac. Beware of the devil's lies. Well, with the problems in the economy, with the problems and the tumult in the world, with the questions and uncertainty about the coming election and what's going to happen there and there, you can't expect. He will get you to postpone and put off any success or any prosperity. And if you do that, when you get to that time, there'll be something else, some other reasons why he can't do it now or you can't get it now. There'll always be some reasons. But they're all lies. Because none of these things are your source. Your God supplies all your need according to, not the conditions of this or that, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Somebody said out loud,
I can prosper.
I will prosper.
Right where I am.
Right now.
In this year.
Amen. Believe it. You don't have to know how.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income. If you say so. That you limited yourself. God can do things 10,000 other ways. Is that right? You don't have to see it and know how. It's where faith comes in. Just believe he can do it. I assure you, he'll come by it honestly. He'll get it to you in a right way and a good way. Keep reading. He sowed in that land. He reaped 100-fold. Verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. He had possession of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, of course, Jesus wouldn't go for all that. Right? All those big flocks, all those big herds, all that big staff to take care of them. No, the Lord wouldn't. Did he believe contrary to the Bible? Did he preach contrary to this? Has God changed from then to then? Do you see why I'm talking about this? We need to camp on this until we get all this tradition and junk out of our heads and away from us. The Philistines envied him. All the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham the father, the Philistines stopped them up and filled them with dirt. That's just mean. That's just mean. Why? Why? It tells you why. They envied him. Why? Because he was so well off. Because he's doing good when nobody else was. Now, the Bible said, if you sow and invest into the kingdom and in the things of God and the gospel, you'll reap in this life, in this time, 100-fold. Am I quoting scriptures? With persecutions. The rest of the verse said. Well, I know you may not want to quote that part, but it goes with it. What does that mean? Not everybody's going to be thrilled that you're doing so well. But will you put up, can you tolerate it? That's weak. Can, are you willing to tolerate people talking about you because you're doing so well? Well, you just got to get ready for it. And Abimelech went to Isaac and said, you need to leave because you are much mightier than us. You're making us look bad. You need to go away. The blessing of the Lord had increased him so much till kings asked him to leave. That's the God Isaac knew.
Amen.
That's the God Abraham knew.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this? That's the God Joseph knew.
Yes.
Is that a different God than Jesus talked about? No, 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 no. I think you're getting what we're talking about. I can hear light bulbs going off. Boing, boing. Let me give you the good reports. What's going on in the churches right now? We released faith for our aircraft a few months ago, and we've taken delivery on it, and we're finishing up what remains on it. And at $400 a pound, everything will be taken care of. Of course, we're also believing for that building to sell, that property we have. And this week we had another 15 pounds, another 16 pounds, another 30 pounds, 61 pounds. Good progress, huh? Anybody remember when we started about 3%?
Amen.
Here we are at 76, almost 77. Won't be long, it'll be done. Say it out loud, we call it done. We call it finished. Everything paid for. Now, we knew when we got this that we would need certain things to take care of this piece of equipment. It's at a plane, especially one like this, you can't just park it in the street. And not just anybody can change the oil on it. I mean, there's a lot required to it. And so we knew there were four main things, and you can go to the graphics, yeah, thank you, that we would need. We would need training. Pilots need training, and our mechanic needs training, and that has been done and accomplished. We also knew we would need a place to put it. It wouldn't fit in the place that we had, much less any room for any guests, and so we released faith for that, and that was a tug was a third thing. There were four things: the tug, the training, and the hangar, and the tools. And we got the tug, got it paid for. We got the training, and it's paid for, and the hangar. And this project here was for the hangar itself. Well, the hangar was finished some time back, so we just have been applying what the rest that came to the tools. And as of last week, let me see what we had at $50 a square foot. We had 62 square feet, 19 square feet, and 156 square feet. And that puts us Over. Thank you, Lord. Project is complete. Thank you, Lord. So our plan was, once this was complete, then we get our tools, and then that's it. But we've got practically all of our tools already. So instead of four segments, we're basically done at three. Let me show you what we got so far. Just cycle through the pictures, if you would. These are our tools. These things are already, we already gotten paid for. These things were ordered, but the money's in the bank to pay for them. This is ordered. In fact, it may be already en route and hadn't paid for it yet, but the money's in the bank. And the money's already in the bank for this, and for this, and for this, and for this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Everything except two things. that fan. We've got everything, and I thought you'd want to know. These two things, we don't yet have the money. Now, we're believing for it, but I thought you'd want to know.
Amen.
So, one of them is called a hydraulic mule. I know that's a funny name, but that's actually a big piece of equipment, and it's advanced. But it enables us to do a lot of things in-house that save us money, especially over time. And those fans, that's not your average fan. So these things are up to 24 foot across. And they really move some air, and they don't burn much electricity. They're real low draw, and they turn slow, but they move a lot of air, and they help you out. They can drop the way it feels by 15, 20 degrees. And so anyway, those things we don't have. Would you like to have one of them in your house? Maybe over your bed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
We're still looking at these to get the best deal on them. We got a new price on that hydraulic unit and also a rebuilt price. And we're believing to be led on which way to go. But for about $40,000, we can do these. And we need two of these fans and one of these units. So I thought I'd let you know, and all our partners, and we'll continue with this. And I believe that can be done right away.
Amen.
What do you think?
Hallelujah.
We could have done it either way, just believed for it, not said anything, but I thought you'd want to know.
Amen.
Was I wrong?
No.
Well, the children's project is still progressing, and when we're finished, we can minister to up to 500 children at once in Branson's new children's facilities in the same building there, but it's all new facilities. And At $1,500 per child, we believe it'll pay for everything, all the furniture, all the equipment, and like we said, even some animal crackers.
Amen.
So this week we had one, two, three, four more children underwritten, and so we are up over 60%.
Amen.
Making good progress on that. And then the word supply is well supplied. Not quite 1-to-1, but last week it was over 1-to-1, and our reserves are good, and the word supply is and will be well supplied. Ushers, wait on the people if you would. You want to get involved in the offering this evening by cash or credit card? Raise your hand. Take an envelope for cash giving, credit card giving. If you're giving by check, you don't require an envelope. Check should be made out to FLCS, that's Faith Life Church, Sarasota. There in Branson, it'll have a B on the end. If you're watching by internet, there's a button you can click on and get involved that way. But now if you want something to go to one of these projects, designate it. And if you want it to go to the plane prep, that project, the hangar project, all that's done. But we just got the two things, the hydraulic unit and the fans, big fans. If you want it to go to the aircraft, that's finishing. And every seed produces after its own kind. If there's something you wanting to finish up, pay off, and then that you release your faith with that seed. And it doesn't have to be a big seed. You know, I know $400 pays for a pound, but, you know, you put enough $4 together, you got $400, right? Any amount. The main thing is just to be led. Whatever the Lord deals with you, and you say, well, he's not leading me to do anything. Great, just be happy. Nobody's asking for anything. There's no charge. There's no pressure. But you do want to be involved in the kingdom somewhere, doing something, because life is very short. And how many think we're going to be so thankful that we had a part in getting the word out to people, getting ministry out to people? And so this piece of equipment, I mean, everywhere we go, we're gearing up to do meetings. And everywhere we go, if people hadn't sent us there, if you hadn't sent us there and our partners hadn't sent us there, we wouldn't be there. And so then everything that's accomplished in those meetings, everybody that sowed has a part of it. I know some of these are much more significant than people may be aware of. I've been to places before and ministered and only found out months and years later that the Lord had us minister on something that was, it was tearing down traditions. Some of them that were generations old. And I had no idea. I knew everybody got quiet for a while. But I was, personally, I was clueless. But it changed things. And people got free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that can be one of the advantages of not knowing. Right? And so whether it's here or there, whoever sent us there, they got a part of it. Just the same as us who went, all of us together doing it. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand. And if you want something to go to one of these areas, make sure you designate it. And if you don't designate it, that's good too. Phyllis, would you please come and bring our offering? And as soon as you're ready, you can stand. And if you're writing, take your time, finish writing, then stand. No rush. The important thing is that we do things willingly. Gladly, the Bible said God loves that kind of giver. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him. Lift up your hand or lift up your offering. Father, we worship You. Oh, we're so thankful how good You are, how good You've been to us. Said out loud, You are my source. Unlimited. Unfailing. Thank You for giving us abundance and plenty to give. And increasing us more and more, us and our children. Thank You, Father. We give You the glory. We give You the praise. Get glory to Yourself in us, in our finances, in our material things. Let others see how good You are and make us a blessing to many. Hallelujah. Father, by the anointing on our lives, Phyllis and I speak over the people. Be increased. Be advanced. Become greater. Become stronger. Be enlightened. Have wisdom and know what to do. And do it well for the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, what we do, what we are, how we conduct ourselves is all a reflection on our Master, isn't it? How many think His things and His people should be tops? Do you believe that? Should be tops. Tops. What else is going on in the Faith Life family? We're getting our buildings, our lands, our houses, our vehicles, and our equipment. Now, you're not just a talking, you believe that, right? You believe that. What else is going on? All of our debts are being reduced and eliminated. The Lord's bringing us into the best shape of our lives. What else is going on? God's bringing into our hands seed, even some great big whopper chunk seeds. You're getting excited about sowing some big seeds wherever He shows you, wherever He tells you, and then reaping some even bigger harvests after that. Praise God. You can be seated. Ushers, wait on the people.